Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
Welcome to the Monday episode of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. We're not through the summer, and already the college football season looks to be in trouble.
If my sons were in college football right now, I'd be scared to death for them not to have a college football season.
Bye, bye for victory.
The Bruins continue to loaf their way through the pre-playoff tourney.
It's over now and start real hockey.
While the Celtics are apparently on the verge of a dynasty.
The Celtics are in the conversation to take that next step into becoming like a dynasty with these two players.
That's Brian Osteen. Great scout.
Mud is in for Glenn.
This has been the week so far today.
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
We've got history to make. Hashtag Himothy.
Let's start the show.
Are you guys ever, as a team, is OMF ever going to do a show together again, or is this the end? Is this the end of
you guys
working?
I don't know what to do
together
with three guys in the studio right now.
I'll be gentle for you.
I didn't know what to do. I said, so you're telling me OMF is actually going to have a show where three hosts sit in the same room, arms distance apart, still social distancing.
Are we 6 feet right now?
No, I know.
You're a little close. Can you back away a little bit?
I'm at least 6 feet away from Prince.
Don't talk to me. Don't give me when you talk.
I don't spit when I talk to
him. A little bit. You do sometimes. That last final hour, I've heard you.
Well, you know what that's like. You do radio with Bradford once in a while where he's spitting across the room.
Oh, the spittle for Bradford flies. Yeah. Some of it sticks on the beard there. But yeah, so we are, Glenn is off this week, a well-deserved vacation. 4A is here for like 48 hours.
And
then you go back on vacation. You have not been here all summer. You can defend it
you
all
know
you
what,
want.
But first of all,
you haven't been here all summer.
Stop making sense.
See, when you just take Thursdays and Fridays like you normally do.
It doesn't feel like that.
It feels like you're never in here.
That's the best way, because there's nothing like a three-day work week. That's
I believe me. I had Friday off, so it was nice. Did you miss me? Did you guys miss me?
Believe me. You know I missed you.
Huh?
I can't deal with the big fella alone anymore. I need Hal! Hal!
Joey, send in Brian.
Answer the question.
Where's Barrett for the last 2 hours? Give me Brian Barrett. Send Barrett in. Let's go.
I'm the guy from A Few Good Men's. Lou! Answer Glenn's question, Christian. Lou! It's not really a question, Lou. It's more like a statement, sort of. All right, Mutt, get control of this bus.
I've not noticed Glenn at all sitting on that fence. I've not noticed that at
all. No?
Not at all.
Nope. Well, he's got like a wedgie defense so far up his butt.
He'll enjoy some time off.
But that's our guy. We love him.
And
get well soon, Glenn.
He's fine. He's not sick. He's fine. He's on vacation. You can't say that. In 2020, dude, you cannot say that. When you hear someone is sick or someone's kid is sick, you start thinking they have COVID-19 and it gets everyone freaked out. You can't do that anymore.
Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
I hope he's okay.
Shut up.
I'm going to text him. Hold on. Glenn?
Glenn's fine. The Celtics are also fine. The Celtics had an unbelievable weekend. They destroyed the Raptors on Friday. They played a team in Orlando that is, there's a report where once you're mathematically eliminated, you leave that day from the bubble. The Magic cannot wait to leave. Yeah. That game sucked yesterday. But the Celtics are a fun little team, to quote Glenn Ordway, that is finding a good time to play really good basketball. I think if you watch the game Friday specifically, that was a very good effort against a playoff caliber team that should make you feel like a little warm and fuzzy about your Celtic team after what you saw on Friday.
You know,
night.
That Toronto game was Friday night. So we didn't, and Glenn and I had this battle all week long about Robert Williams. You know, and wanting, I remember that Miami game pissed me off, right? That was just, I'm like, what are we doing here? The one Marcus Smart fouled out in the third quarter.
That second quarter, which was the worst basketball quarter we saw all year.
Robert Williams played 13 seconds. Yeah. I'm like, really?
For an intentional foul. That's why he went in.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about interior defense and getting to some athleticism. And what you saw was, you know, 11, 12, 14 minutes from Robert Williams. That's it.
Robert Williams had 10 points tonight.
But that's it. You know, Cantor, you know, we know what he can do. Offensive rebound. But I like the Robert Williams. Just getting more minutes. Obviously, that's not the reason why they were very impressive. But it was that was a big win on Friday.
He's part of the rotation
that
now.
That was a nice win on Friday night. There's no question about it. I don't know if that changed your opinion. I don't think it should, but it was a good win.
You know what? I've never seen a fan base in any sport, at any level, that constantly needs some sort of validation that their team is good.
Like
that
teamers.
Is the Celtics. Every goddamn time they play remotely well, regardless of the fact that the Orlando Magic didn't have three starters and they were missing four bench players. Let's not. It's like, look, they fought to the end and they won in overtime. Coming off a great win on Friday where they just obliterate. I mean, come on. How many pats on the back do you need? How insecure are Celtics fans? Yes, I'm talking to you, Celtics fans. You're so insecure. You're so needy. Like, okay, they might be good, but every time they have a decent win or Gordon Hayward plays well because he's back again or Jaylen Brown or whatever, how many times do we need to push the narrative that they're good? That they're great, or they could be great.
And here's the problem, okay, for the green teamers out there. The media is a big part of this whole Celtic thing, okay, because you have guys like Kendrick Perkins, who is new to the media, but he cannot say enough good things about the Celtics, and he does every single day, including some ridiculous stuff we'll get to today.
Let's go Celtics.
And then there's Brian Scalabrine, who was on Comcast over the weekend and had the balls to say this about this current Celtic team. This nice little team, he said this about this current group.
Jaylen Brown for the Celtics right now, if he's playing at this level, you got to reevaluate how good this team can be. I'm not even talking about the championship this year. I'm talking about the Celtics are in the conversation to take that next step into becoming like a dynasty with these two players continue. If they just keep going and improving the way that they continue to improve.
Hold up, Scott. You're jumping the gun, Justin.
No,
you gotta get to the finals. You guys are waving the green pom poms right now.
I don't even know what to say. These guys' trajectory is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Hey, that's not Brian Scalabrine you sitting next to today. That's Brian Osteen.
Preach.
He's speaking that good gospel. Preach, Scal.
Now it takes for Draper to be the guy who's got to say the Celtics.
Look what they've turned Draper into the critic. They've turned Draper into the guy that's on the other side of it, going, "Oh my God,
this guy is a five-time All-Star."
He's got Draper calling them green teamers,
and that's my point.
The chairman,
and thank you for pointing that out because I wasn't even going to get to it because I'm so upset about the whole thing. Is that the media pushes that narrative?
It's a big part of it.
It's like, come on, guys, what are we doing? Are you really gonna? It's like, why does everything have to be such a huge, long, broad leap? Why can't we be small incremental gains? Like there's only been one dynasty in this state, and it's the Patriots. And can we recognize how unbelievably difficult and how many things had to go right for them to be able to do that? Like, no.
Do we leave this opportunity open? Is there a chance he doesn't know what the word dynasty means?
Probably.
Does Scal not know? Because that's the only excuse he has, because they're nowhere near a championship this year, let alone a dynasty. And what you do when you do that as a media member and former player, you now raise the bar for your fan base, thinking, oh, wow. How about win before you're a dynasty?
Yeah, but it hurts
the perception of the team when guys like Scal say that.
My problem is that, and I've always been a big Jaylen Brown fan. I made the statement. I'm sort of leaving it out there, but I'm going back on it a little bit.
Is this your Tatum thing?
No, that I felt that he was a better player than Tatum.
Yeah.
And will be a better player than Tatum. But for them to look at it and say, Jaylen Brown, and it's almost like, I know that these guys have seen him play, but what is Jaylen Brown doing now that he wasn't doing before the season ended? He was averaging 20 points a game when the season ended, back in that first stoppage. He's now averaging 21. He's shooting at a slightly higher percentage from the three-point line. He's got the same amount of rebounds, slightly less assists. It's the same guy. Like, he's playing exactly the way he played all year long. But because of what we're seeing, obviously, in the bubble, now we're turning him into what, I don't think we want to play this perk sound, to being, I don't understand, because this is pretty much the same guy. He is a very good player and always has been. Now, I don't know, just because Tatum was like was a star for that, first half of the season, first three quarters of the season, that when we got away from the 3.5 months of basketball, we forgot that Jaylen Brown, by the way, was averaging 20 points as well. Like, he had a great year as it is.
Oh, I also think that the bubble, everything, we had no sports forever. Everything's happening in both hockey and the NBA. it's being magnified.
Everything.
To the point where we're treating it like we're treating these things like playoff games.
Yeah.
And that's why Perk, we'll get to him coming up in a little bit, is saying some crazy stuff. It's why we're all overreacting to all of it, including the Celtics and the Bruins, who both play this weekend. The Celtics, pretty good. The Bruins, not so good. And we'll hear not only Perkins, who's become a media star around these parts, say something really silly about Jaylen Brown, but hockey expert Christian Fourier is going to explain the other team in town. Is the concern level an issue, and should it be for the Boston Bruins? We'll get to it. OMF, no Ordway here on WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Jaylen Brown, to me, is the best all-around shooting guard in the league. Period, point blank.
Dang.
He don't search for shots. He don't search for shots. He's not a high-volume scorer, but when you look up at the end of the night, he got his 20 points on over 50% shooting, and he locks up the best guy every single night. You can't find that. And his playmaking is underrated. He got a very high, very high IQ. Jaylen Brown, for me, he should have been an all-star.
Battle of the Green Teamers, Scal and Perk. Scal says they're a dynasty. Perk just said he's the best shooting guard in the NBA.
There's a huge difference between saying he should have been an all-star.
Sure.
And saying that he's the best all-around shooting guard in the league. I mean, right away, it's not that hard. I mean, did he play with Klay Thompson?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I mean,
yes.
He's better than Klay Thompson?
He's not,
like first-team all-defensive and actually does shut down
We can
guys?
Start the list there if you want. There's like 10 other guys probably also on that list.
I mean, would you consider, that's the thing, shooting guard, right? It's like positionless basketball right now. So what you're saying is like wing player, two or three. Is that, I mean, shooting guard? I don't know. Is James Harden a shooting guard? He's MVP of the league.
I'd call him a shooting guard, yeah. How about C.J. McCollum?
I mean, but is he better? Okay, so Jaylen Brown may be better defensively than James Harden.
Okay, but your choice.
Paul George?
You pick one. Who do you want to start your team with, Jaylen Brown or James Harden?
Well, I think I'd rather have James Harden.
Okay.
And I'm not a huge James Harden fan, but a guy can score at will.
I mean, that's all he does.
I understand that.
It's legit all he does.
But there's a difference between saying he should be an all-star. I would agree. I'm a huge Jaylen Brown fan, but he's not better than Klay Thompson.
Yeah, that's kind of my point with this love affair that exists in the ego that needs to be constantly maintained. And I don't even look at these games of anything other than just like tune-up games. They don't mean anything. The games don't mean anything. They're not an indication if you're going to be an all-star. They're bubble stats. I feel like they should create a new line, a new category. Bubble all-stars, bubble stats. I feel like when people start talking about like guys that are just balling out right now, I think of those guys when I was playing football who were on the scout team. And we used to call them scout team All-Americans.
Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy.
Rudy.
That was it.
Rudy.
Every single time. Are we really? Dude, I played in 15 straight games. I'm beat up. You practiced twice a week and you're sprinting. Like, slow it down. No, I got to make the play. I got to stay in the team. All right, fine. Then somebody's going to have to take you out when you least expect it, just to slow your ass down.
That does mean something, though, right? Aren't you trying to prove that what you did during the year, they didn't just go away for 3 or 4 months? Like, Tatum didn't shoot. He joked about playing golf more than he did shooting. He's come back and played well. Like, weren't you looking for certain things?
Well, let me ask you this.
It was going to matter how they played. They are what they are.
When it comes to bubble stats right now in the NBA, I just picked a random team, the Lakers. Picked the Lakers.
See, I don't know why.
I mean, it was funny. Like, they just it popped into my head. No, but it was funny because here's a team, best team, you know, arguably, whatever, you can say what you want. But as far as, you know, the record goes and the best team, it's picked the Lakers. Right now, their bubble stats, they're last in scoring, last in field goal percentage, last in 3 points, last in assists. Before the pandemic, before they shut down, they won 11 of 13. They're getting killed right now. So all that momentum, all that great play, I mean, everything that they're doing right now has nothing to do with how well they're going to be. That's why bubble stats, everything that you're seeing right now from the Celtics, it's a mirage. It's fake, and it changes every day. You want to give them credit for beating up on the Orlando Magic, who sat 3 starters and 4 of their bench players? Fine. Feel good about yourself. It took them, with all that, they should have just mopped the floor with them like they did on Friday, but they went into overtime.
But you hit on it. It's like the Celtics fans, they need, you know, to tell you how great their team is and their players are. When we already knew they were great players and a good team. Like, we already know that. You don't have to keep sitting, you know, why aren't you giving them the respect? I know they get on Glenn because he calls it a cute little team. So they don't like the phrase, but when he explains it, I think he's right. You know, I mean, when cute little team, they're a very good team. I don't know, can they win a championship? In a regular season, could this team have won a championship? I don't think they could have. They would have lost to Milwaukee, or they would have lost to the Lakers, or they lost to the Clippers. I don't think they had a shot. But are they one of the top 5 or 6 teams in the NBA? Yeah, they are.
See, I would argue.
But it's like, why do we need to be like, oh, you don't give them enough respect? No, I do. I think they're a very good team, and they have great players. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in 2 years could very well both be top 15 players, maybe Tatum top 10. Well, but right now, I just don't think they can win a championship, but they're a very good team.
Does that inferiority come from that the Bruins, Celtics, and Red Sox have, and the Bruins have won multiple championships, but they've been in contention. They've been to 2 different Stanley Cup finals. The Red Sox have won multiple. The Patriots are the Patriots. And so that fan base feels, is there a left out? Part of the Patrick Gilroy Green Teamer is left out by the other 3 teams in town that get all this praise and get to championship level. And the Celtics haven't been there by virtue of their lack of success in getting to championships. They don't get the same conversation.
It is because it's almost like they're protected. It's like they're insulated for some reason. I don't know why, because maybe because the Red Sox get killed on a regular basis, criticized. The Patriots the same way. The Bruins, not as much, because I don't think people talk about the Bruins as much as the other sports. But the Celtics, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, you know what? They'll make up some sort of excuse to protect them, to protect themselves from, you know, being the weakling in the group. I don't know. But it's weird just how they just constantly find new ways to prop them up. It's almost like they overpraise on purpose.
Well, these two, the Scal and Perk ones are ridiculous. And I would argue, because we got 2 teams in the bubble right now, the Celtics and Bruins. This was a more important return for the Celtics than it was the Bruins. And you said the Lakers. More important return for the Celtics and Lakers. We know what the Lakers are. We know what the Bruins are. I still think there are people that don't quite know what the Celtics are. When you beat Toronto by that many, you start to win some people over. The Lakers and Bruins in 2 different leagues, we know what those teams are before they play round robin or bubble.
Yeah, I disagree. I just feel like I'm not worried about the Lakers. We'll see. I feel like in the NBA, it's still about the stars, no matter how much layoff you have. But to me, hockey's completely different. You know, and those guys up and down the roster can scream that this is just preseason, that they don't mean anything. But that's what you say when you suck for 3 straight games. You know, I don't think the Flyers are sitting there saying, you know what, this was just about seeding. No big deal that we went 3-0. We're playing great hockey going into the postseason. Doesn't really mean anything. I mean, they got to tell them it doesn't mean anything because they don't get too cocky. But at the same point, they know they're playing really good hockey right now against 3 good teams. I'm more worried about the Bruins. Because Chara looks like he's just still on break. You know, first line does absolutely nothing. You get Krejci and you got Bergeron at the middle that just look like they haven't come back yet either. And I don't think you can flip a switch in hockey. I think you can flip a switch in basketball if you've got the talent on the court. But I don't think you can in hockey. I'm way more concerned about the Bruins than I am the Celtics. Yeah, way more.
I'm not only because they've already flipped the switch, and they flipped the beginning of the year. I mean, this team was destined to start out slow, destined to play kind of a slow first 6-8 weeks after what happened at the end of last year, and they came out guns blazing. This guy, Bruce Cassidy, is, I don't know if he's underrated in the hockey circles. I underrated the guy because he got this team motivated, and they were the best team in the NHL the first 6 weeks off a brutal way to end last year. So I think when they start their series against the Hurricanes tomorrow, they're going to look at a completely different team than what you saw. I believe what they're selling, what the coach sold, what the players sold. These were exhibition games to them. And if the team more likely to win a championship is still the Bruins. It's by far still the Bruins versus the Celtics.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think that we spent so much time reading into what people are saying and, you know, oh, look, they look so, the Bruins look like they're in a funk. You know, the Celtics, wow, look at them. Just look at them, you know, just destroying these teams and coming close to beating the Bucks and then beating Toronto and beating Portland. And then who they lose to? Oh, they beat the Nets? I forget. But yeah. The fact the Bruins, see, with the Bruins, I actually don't feel, I'm not worried about them at all anymore.
Oh, my God.
I'm with you.
I'm not worried about them. And I don't know if you can gauge, you know, who's better equipped to flip the switch. But based on what I'm hearing and, you know, I think what I was doing was just paying attention, just getting caught up in the whole, like, this is round robin. Look how important this stuff is. I mean, really, what did the Bruins really lose out on by not having the number one seed? Like, what? There's no crowd advantage. The only thing you get in the best of seven, if you have that seven, is last line change. So what'd you really lose?
I just think what you lost was playing intensive hockey, like playing your style of hockey, like getting ready for this thing. You had three games to ramp up. Now they're going to play Carolina, who just swept in their first round. They ramped it up. They got ready to play out of the gate. One scrimmage in a series, lose, you go home. They swept them 3-0. They come in. They have played competitive hockey. And I feel like you're going to have one team that's ready to go, and you got another team that's sitting there saying, okay, well, exhibition season's over. Let's flip the switch. And when it doesn't, then you panic, and you go home early. I think the Bruins lose to Carolina. I think, first off, the Carolina's a pretty good team. So I just don't expect them to come out of that first round because they're going to sleepwalk through it, and then it's going to turn into, you know, I just don't like the exhibition stuff.
Well, they went
for exhibition. You're playing like really good teams. Why don't you go see what kind of team you are right now coming out of the break? And they lost. They played like dog crap, and they hid behind all of them, from Marchand to Rast, all of them. Yeah, it's just preseason. That's all it
but
is.
What if it was, though? What if that's how they treated it? The coach said it months ago on a Zoom call in June, we're not going to treat those games like they're real games. Like that's not an excuse. It's the reality of what they did. They had nothing to gain or lose other than make sure they stay healthy. And Rask and Pastrnak were not at practice today. We'll see how that pans out. But what if it was exhibition season? And what if they are don't they have the skill to be able to turn it on
tomorrow night? I mean, I think they have the skill, but again, 3.5 months off, I think you wanted to come out and play better hockey. And I think some of the older players look like they're still on break.
All right. Well, we know one player, their goaltender, is not worried. You'll hear from him coming up. Fourier is not worried. I'm not worried. Lou is. We'll hear from you guys as well at 617-779-7937. The goaltender says no big deal. Is it a big deal? College football is essentially shutting down, all coming up on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, I think, you know, these first round-robin games or whatever they were, you know, you just kind of try to shake the rust off and get your team game in a place kind of you want it to be. I think we've kind of improved over these three games. Obviously, we need to work, or we work very hard for our goals. You know, we just seem not to get rewarded, but I'm sure that's going to come if we just keep plugging away. But I think, you know, it doesn't matter what seed you're in, because you're going to beat every team anyways if you want to advance. So I think, you know, we're going to feel good. It's over now and start real hockey.
That's the Bruins punching bag. Their goaltender, Tuukka Rask, saying no big deal. Round robin was the preseason. I agree with him. Fourier agrees. Lou is, I guess, we heard in the first half hour, you're picking the Hurricanes to knock off the Bruins and upset the Bruins in round one.
You know what he sounds
How
like?
That?
You know what Tuukka sounds like?
Uh-oh.
Kyrie Irving.
That's not fair.
Wow.
No, it's not. It's the exact same thing. It was just an excuse for why they're playing horrible basketball in the month of March or April going into the postseason. It doesn't mean anything. This is just, you know, wait till the playoffs start. We'll flip the switch. This means absolutely nothing. And they won that first game against Milwaukee. They got their doors blown off.
See,
that's what it sounds like. Because at some point, you're going to have to cash that check that you're talking trash about.
Yeah,
and it ain't going to happen.
I actually looked at it totally different. Here we were thinking the worst and just, you know, assuming that they had just, you know, lost it. Like, they had suddenly just forgot how to play hockey and all the other teams wanted it more than them. No, I think Cassidy almost pulled a page out of Bill Belichick's handbook. Not because he wants to be Bill, but he recognized that he has the right team who, hey, listen, I can tell you not to give a crap, in so many words, not to give a crap about these games, but in the end, they're going to make a difference. And ultimately, I think that's what he told them. Because Tuukka all but just basically told all of us, that they weren't taking these seriously. They were using these game situations as practice. And when you think, because if it really meant that they were going to lose home ice, then I think they would have completely treated it differently.
Well, I think I mentioned that he said this back in June, but we had the direct quote, good job by Tyler. Bruce Cassidy said back on June 16th, we could absolutely rest players in the round robin games against other top seeded teams, and says it could be a preseason mentality. It's his quote as how it constructs the Bruins lineups. Haggerty asked the question at the time, do we like that? And it's clear from, you know, the way they played, especially before game three, that's what the guy did. Now, maybe Lou's right. Maybe it'll burn him. Maybe they'll look back and say, like the Red Sox did with Alex Cora last year. They started poorly because Alex Cora spent way too much time talking about 2018, we're going to accept it. They couldn't move on, and it screwed them in the first month of the year. He'll tell you it was the schedule, but it was the Cora mentality. And maybe we'll look back in a week from now, 2 weeks from now, and say, yep, they screwed up. But at least on paper, they did what they said they do in June.
I'm actually
so I give
amazed.
Them credit for that.
I'm amazed that, you know, Tuukka just basically admitted it. Or now he can. Now maybe he's just making up an excuse. Maybe because, you know, he missed a bunch of time and, you know, he didn't have a bunch of tune ups. Maybe less than he wanted. But he all but said that, guys, this was our mentality. This was our, forget about mentality. Here's our game plan. I'm Bruce Cassidy. All right, guys, here's what we're gonna do. I don't want anybody getting hurt. One. Two, we're going to use this to just kind of try different things, try different special teams, try different power play mentality, shift guys in and out, get our legs underneath us. Because I believe that you can flip the switch. You can reserve it. You can keep it intact. And then when I tell you to unleash it, you can. Yeah, because we don't care about the number one seed, guys.
Well, really good teams can. I think they prove during the regular season before the three bubble games they're a really good team. Right there with Tampa as the contender. At one point, they were favored to beat Tampa in the Eastern Conference. Like, teams like that can flip the switch. Teams like Carolina need to get hot.
Tuukka wasn't allowed to play in game one because he used his app and they shut him down for a couple of games. I would agree with all of you if Bergeron sat out game two. And if Krejci didn't play game three, and Chara missed two of the games, okay? But last I checked, there wasn't any minute restrictions. The perfection line played together and had one assist. You know, Chara was out there with McAvoy and just people skating around him left and right. Like, I would agree with you if I saw Bergeron play 8 minutes in a game, but not 17, 18, not his normal slate. I would agree with you if they were trying different power plays. But they weren't. You know, Coyle went up to that first line. Okay, we've seen that before because it wasn't working. So they can say, I feel like they're just saying it because they lost. But I didn't see it out there as far as personnel and resting guys.
Yeah, but if so you say, okay, Tuukka's one person. Maybe you don't trust him. What if Brad Marchand said the same thing? What if some of the leaders, it's not Bergeron, but Marchand's up there when it comes to leadership. You know, we have this, you know, he talked about this the other day.
This is from Joe Haggard. Pretty sure Brad Marshall just called the round robin games the preseason.
Yeah,
I think there's you got to feel really comfortable about saying preseason during an realistically a regular season game. I know you guys are looking at it one way. We're smarter. We're more prepared. We know what this is, and let's not get it twisted. We're not going to act like it's important when we know it isn't. So you're going to criticize us. You're going to call us quitters. You're going to say we're not ready. You're going to say that we weren't ready to enter the bubble. The other teams were bubble ready. The Bruins were not bubble ready yet. No. So we'll show you that we are. And I guarantee you, when you look at some of the stats, I forget what's like. They've been scored on in the first period in like in every single game. Every single game, you'll notice the energy, and they never led. And you'll notice the energy, how different it is on the very first period against Carolina. I guarantee it. Listen, and who could you trust more than me when it comes to hockey?
Hockey Insider. I mean, that's why we turn to you in times like this. Bruins fans need to know if they should be concerned.
I'm amazed that they actually admitted it. I'm amazed that they actually admitted it, because there is some of Lou's comments that come with admitting it. Hey, guys, it looks like you're making up an excuse. It looks like you're dismissing the opportunity to get better. Like, why would you? Shouldn't you always want to win? Well, no. Because sometimes, speaking from experience, you try to lose. You can't say you're trying to lose because you want a better seed. Maybe you want a better matchup. Is Carolina the matchup that they wanted? Was there some gamesmanship to try and, slot yourself in a position where you could play against Carolina based on the way you thought everything was going to line up? I mean, there's been other coaches and down south from us that I know have done the exact same thing. They've never admit to it. But based on who started and who played?
In this type of tournament, I don't think you can.
Why not?
Look at it, because Carolina, because honestly, I think anyone could win this thing, right? Like, Carolina could be just as dangerous as the best team. I mean, Pittsburgh was great all year long. Well, they were good. They were good. Montreal had no right being in the postseason, and they won. Look at out west. I think it was Phoenix or Arizona and Chicago. They were the 11th and 12th seeds. They won. So I don't think you can sit there and say, oh, if we won this thing, we could have played Montreal. Well, okay, Carey Price could have beat your ass too. So it's just.
But you don't think at all that.
I think everyone is lumped together more so now.
I know, but I do think there's something to, if you have the ability to manipulate who you play, and even though, listen, in the end, hey, we don't care who we'll play anyone. And even if we have a plan to manipulate it and it doesn't work, we still think we can beat anybody.
And
so
that's what
matter.
I think it is, by the way.
And so do I, Mutt. So do I. I think you, because I wrote it down. I was like, wow, this is so uncharacteristic of them. So why does it stand out to me?
Well,
why can I not
out?
Let it go?
Because the coach said it in June.
Exactly. That's
the confidence of Marchand and Tukaras to say it is the coach had a plan. They're sticking to his plan. And that's why they're confident saying it. So the coach told them that privately. And so they believe, come tomorrow against Carolina, they're going to play an actual real playoff game.
There's a lot of trust a coach has to have.
Absolutely.
You have to have a lot of trust. I'm telling you guys this because I know what you're capable of doing. I've seen you at practice. I'm not worried about it. But listen, now it's go time.
I was much more worried about, is Pastrnak, is he in the bubble? Is he out and about? Is he getting sick? Why is Tuukka not playing? Those, to me, were much bigger issues than were they going to get themselves ready.
I would say that if the Bruins had gone 3-0, 2-0-1, whatever you want to call it, and won, they would have still sat there and said, our job's not done. We still got to beat everybody in front of us. But I guarantee they would have said, it's great to come out of this bubble and play like hockey like we know we can. And it's great to come out here and play intensity. We're ready to go in this first round because we're confident. We're playing good hockey. They would be saying that. But because they lost, We didn't even try. You beat us, but we didn't even try. Even though everybody played big minutes. Like, look at that Tampa game. Bergeron's up to like 18, 19 minutes. They're all playing normal minutes.
Well, okay, so
if they pulled them in the third period, I would agree.
Do you think Kemba Walker's up to like 32 minutes. He didn't even play in overtime against Orlando because he'd already reached his minutes restriction. You think that play? I mean, okay, to me, that's a smaller microcosm of what the Bruins are doing. So, but you take Kemba Walker, we're going to give you 15, 18, 22, 28, and I don't care what is going on.
I agree.
Not deviating.
But the Bruins didn't do that.
I'm just saying, you can look at it the same way. Here, the Celtics have a plan for Kemba Walker. Bruce Cassidy has a plan for his team.
So the Bruins are basically saying, hey, listen, you're still going to play your normal minutes, but just don't try as hard.
Well, I think
don't look good.
I think Tuukka probably got the night off.
Be awful. Be 0-9 on your power play.
You think Tuukka was really sick, or did they say, we're going to rest you and get you ready for the postseason?
I think
fake cough button.
I think exactly what happened. Yeah, I think he took that app and said, I got a cough, and they said you can't play. And now he'll never hit that button again. And I don't think anybody will. But I just, again, they played their normal minutes. I think when they had a chance to have a power play, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to do this power play. You know those great plays, the ones we score on? We're not going to practice those. We're just going to go through the motions and go 0-for-9 on power play. And you know what? We're going to take Bergeron off that first power play and Pasternak. We're going to screw it around. Todd Ritchie, here you go. First power play. Go get him. Like, no. They played their guys.
I would
they
also
played
say,
like
though,
dog crap.
So I will go back to your David Price analogy that you used years ago when he thought he was done. I don't know what game it was, and you probably remember because it made a lot of sense. He thought he was done. He had a certain way of walking off the mound when he was done, and he pitched a great game. Well, sure enough, he comes back into the game and pitches the next inning and gets shelled. And we had this long conversation about, well, you know, mentally he thought he was done. So, all right, you're not done. Well, it was too late. He had already reserved the fact that he was done. I do think there's a gear where you're in cruise control, even though you're still trying to win, but you're still not willing to give up your body and get hurt and all this other stuff. You're saving it. You're still at, 90% effort, but you're not willing to go past that red line. And I think that's what the Bruins are doing, and they all but said it. Marchand, Tuca, Cassidy back in June. I mean, the other guys aren't going to – some guys just will not allow themselves to make an excuse, but these guys are giving you the answers to the test and tell you this was their game plan.
Yeah, they won me over the first month of the year. And maybe I'm making too much out of that, but they had every right to come out of the box slow, and they came out after a short offseason. They were the best team in the NHL, and I believe we'll see more of that tomorrow. And the good thing, if you're a hockey fan, is what has gone on there in that bubble. They made the announcement today to the NHL. 17,000 tests of NHL players and staff members. They have zero COVID-19 positives on almost 20,000 tests. So
zero.
Whether the Bruins make it or not, there's going to be a Stanley Cup run. There's going to be some playoffs for you to watch. It ain't going to be that way in college football. And you could hear the tears in Wiggy's in his voice today in the first segment yelling at Dale about college football, because Wiggy and Clay Travis are the two biggest college football supporters in the country, and the reality is now front and center.
Yosemite?
The Big Ten is going to announce tomorrow, according to Dan Patrick. They're done. The SEC is hanging on by a thread. The ACC hanging on by a thread. And it's looking more and more likely that the biggest question mark with these college campuses is going to lead to no college football. The NHL is going to happen. College football, Dunsky.
I don't know if it's officially Dunsky yet.
It's Dunsky.
I don't think it is. You think the SEC isn't playing college football?
I do not think they'll play this year.
The SEC is playing college football.
I want them to. I don't think they're going to.
The governor of Florida is saying play football. The athletic director at the University of Arkansas playing football. Alabama. The SEC is playing football. Remove them.
I actually think they might too.
That's too much pressure from other colleges to do.
They don't give a crap. The governor of the state is saying play football. Like the athletic director, the presidents of the university are saying we're playing football.
Can you imagine?
Do not include the SEC when it comes to normal thinking.
All of
human
college football is canceled. Except for the SEC.
I'd love it, but it's not going
to happen. Oh, my God. Like, on Saturday, you will have, you know what? I swear to God, that will make college football more popular in a state like Massachusetts where we don't pay attention to college football, because you will get to know teams in the SEC. You will watch, LSU every single weekend.
Arkansas running and back's Alabama. Pretty good.
You will. I'm serious.
Vanderbilt's got a football team.
You'll kind of, adapt them as,
Harvard of the
South. Following all of college football is, it's overwhelming, and, you're out there in the West Coast, Pac-10. But if it's just the SEC, on Saturday, you'll be there's a game at noon, there's a game at 4, there's a game at 7:30, and it'll be like, you'll start following college football because it's one conference.
But you saw what happened today, though. So these colleges, over the weekend, the Big Five got together. And this pressure starts. It's the guy who usually sits here, optics man, starts to cave in on everything. And even the SEC, you can say all they want that they want to play. In fact, the president tweeted in the last hour, play college football. So he's on their side too. Texas, their 7-day positive test rate is 20%. One in every five people that walks in is testing positive for COVID. Florida is having record hospitalizations, okay? So there are issues in the states where they're going to be wanting to play college football. And those numbers are unfortunately going to keep the SEC from playing.
I don't think it will. I don't think it matters. I think when you think about the colleges or the conferences that are going to play, think of the states that those colleges are in or the regions that they're in and how they look at football and how they look at the coronavirus
and how the governor looks at coronavirus. Religion.
Spring football and fall football.
No, it's less about that. It's less about that because if Florida's – think of all the ACC schools are all East Coast, right? You're talking Clemson. You're talking Florida State, NC State, Virginia Tech, all these schools, the SEC, all in the South other than Missouri and Vanderbilt, which is in Tennessee. So you think about the Big Ten. Sorry, the Big 12, Texas. You got Oklahoma. I mean, those regions are – that's why Nebraska is agitated and irritated because they want to play, but they're stuck in the Big 12. Pac-12, California, Washington, and Oregon. They're still riding in the Northwest. Okay,
so,
and then you throw in Utah and Colorado, and you're like, "Well, we want to play, but they're telling us we can't."
No, so I've never, I haven't even heard what's Colorado? Where are they at right now?
Well, they're in that we want to play. Like, well, there sounds like play.
A lot of no who, the teams are. All want to play. What about what do they want to? What's the school? What's the president?
I
say?
Think. Well,
the teams all want to play. Football side, they want to play. Jim Harbaugh wants to play. His team is the president of Michigan. He doesn't want to play.
My question is this: the SEC for like one season, can they just say, you know what, we are the SEC American Conference. Because I'm looking at this. Brian Hartline, remember him?
Former NFL wide receiver. Yeah.
He's a current Miami Ohio Dolphin. State wide receiver coach.
Oh, okay.
And this was from Taraja Mitchell. I don't know. He says, can we go play in the SEC then? I'm guessing he's a wide receiver from Ohio State?
Correct.
All right. Can we go play in the SEC? And Hartline says, I'm in. Dial it up. Can the SEC sit there and say, you know what, this year we got four divisions. We're going to bring in Ohio State. We're going to bring in Michigan. We're going to bring in Oklahoma.
Notre Dame.
We're going to bring in Notre Dame.
Went to the ACC.
We can't
that's
bring
why
in.
That's why
they're already there.
We can't bring in UConn because they've already made their choice.
Yeah.
But
we don't want UConn.
Could the SEC sit there and say, let's put 24 teams in our conference?
I would say that they may not be in the conference, but they'll be part of the new configured football championship, whatever it is.
It's a one-year deal. College football league.
And I will also say this. So the Big 12 says, all right, done. We don't want to play. Well, I guarantee you a team like Michigan, who had 350 tests and zero positives, other schools, Notre Dame, who've had zero, UCLA, who's had, I think, eight out of their entire team on all the times I've been, Colorado, who's had four. It just, these teams need to leave if they want to play. If the president's okay them to play, then they just need to figure out a way to get into the tournament and schedule some games and then go on with their business. The teams that don't shouldn't play. Because to me, this is ridiculous because when I think about it, like they're safer at the school in the dorms. Like I'm living it right now. They deliver food to my son.
Let's come back and explain that then, because you have better insight than I do on this. Because I, from the outside in, it feels like it's the total opposite thing. And on top of the college football part of it, there will be a trickle-down effect. Might be actually good for the NFL, the way that I see it. We'll get the NFL impact as well. This hour of OMF brought to you by the Jimmy Fund. Hour 2, OMF next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.